We're approaching today topically. My goal was to work on 1 Corinthians 15. Maybe I'll do that later. 1 Corinthians 15 is 58 verses long. The kids quoted two verses out of it. There's so much there that that'll probably be a series, not a sermon, series of sermons. So we're doing this topically, talking about the Jesus resurrection. What is it? What's the word resurrection mean? Let's start there. Kids, what does it mean to resurrect? Because we're talking about the resurrection, we're celebrating the resurrection, but some of us here probably don't know what that's all about. Probably some of the kids don't, you know, in detail. But that means when someone comes back from the dead, Jesus died on the cross, right? He died on the cross, and then 3 days later, he rose back to life again. That's what's talking about is the resurrection. So what does that have to do with us? Well, it guarantees six things for us, okay? So that's what we're going to look at today. Six things Jesus' resurrection guarantees, okay? That it ensures that these things will happen. So sorry, I'm trying to do two things at once, and good thing I'm not chewing gum also, or I'd be overwhelmed right now. We record two different ways. We post all our stuff on the internet so people that miss can listen to it and also the ministry outside, or if you want to hear them again. So. Okay. 6 points. Not a whole lot of fill-in, which is a little easier for the kids. Let's just pray one more time. Lord, bless our study. Lord, help us to learn. Help us to be reminded. If we already know these things, Lord, help us to understand how important the resurrection is and how it makes all the difference in this world and the world to come. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus' resurrection guarantees that, number one, Jesus Christ is who He claimed to be. Jesus Christ is who He claimed to be, the Son of God. Romans chapter 1, the first four verses in that book says this: Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which He, God, promised before through His prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. And notice this, I've even underlined it for you. And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. The Bible teaches that the resurrection declared that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He had said it while He was teaching on earth, but it's just like, there it is. It just broadcasts it out that Jesus Christ is who He says He is. Okay, He rose from the dead. Talk is cheap. People teach all kinds of things. But Jesus did what He said He would do. He said, you destroy this temple in 3 days, I will what? I will raise it up. The apostles didn't even get it, right? They were devastated when Jesus died on the cross. They're like, oh, it's over. It's all over. They go into a room and they wait. There's a holy day, so they can't do any work or whatever. They have to do this. They go back to visit the grave and it's empty. The ladies come. Remember, the ladies go to treat the body of Jesus because there wasn't enough time that day. And from what we understand, it's possible that there were two holy days in a row. Okay? So there was a Passover and like the regular Sabbath or whatever together. So it's like 2 days. They couldn't do any work. So the ladies go to treat the body with spices and all that. And they go there and it's not there. Remember? He's not here, for He's risen as He said. They run and tell the apostles, and they run. Well, they both run. John gets there first, and Peter goes in, and it's not there. They're shocked. they hadn't fully grasped what Jesus had said. But when Jesus rose from the dead, he proved that he was who he said he was. He's the Son of God in the flesh. He's not just another false teacher. He is the very God of the universe, the Creator and Savior of the world. Jesus' resurrection guaranteed that. Who Jesus said he was, he was. Jesus is who he claimed to be, the Son of God. Number two, Jesus' resurrection guarantees that the Bible is true. The Bible is true. Okay? The idea here is that Jesus said all kinds of things. Okay, he taught many things, the Bible says. When he says, you destroy this temple, I'll raise it up in 3 days. Different times, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Remember what even the angel told Joseph, he will save his people from their sins. When he rises from the dead, that validates everything else he said. It proves that everything else he said is accurate. It's true. It validates, if you will, the Bible. Matthew 28, verses 5 through 7. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. And what are the underlying words say? As he said. Hey, he did what he said he would do. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. As he said. Matthew 5:18. This is from Jesus' own words here. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. You understand? Jesus said, I'll rise from the dead. You can believe everything else that Jesus said. And he said, guess what? It's all going to happen just like I said. You can count on it. The Word of God is true. You can bank on it. You can rest on that fact. What Jesus says in the hardest of arenas came true. It reminds me of the time when, remember when they let down a man through the roof, a crippled man? You remember that? The crowd was so bad that they somehow took out some thatching or whatever above and lowered their friend down that was sick. And what did Jesus first say? He said, your sins be forgiven you. Do you remember that? Your sins be forgiven you. And they mocked him. And they said, yeah. He knew what they were thinking. And he said, hey, I know what you're thinking. But he says, which is harder to do? To say your sins are forgiven you, which is actually harder. Because you can't forgive sins for God. Or to say, take up your bed and walk. Of course, they were a little bit speechless. And he says, okay, so that you can know that I have power over the forgiveness of sins, he turns to the man and says, take up your bed and walk. And the guy takes up his bed and walks. You can believe what God says about your sins because of what Jesus did not do for the grave. He rose from the dead. He did what he said he would do. You can count on everything else that he said. You can rely upon the Word of God. Jesus said, every bit of the Word of God will come true. So, Jesus' resurrection guarantees that Jesus Christ is who he claimed to be. Jesus' resurrection guarantees that the Bible is true. Number three, Jesus' resurrection guarantees that every person will be resurrected. If it's easier, every person will rise again. Every person will be resurrected. Every person? I thought only those that are believers. Uh-uh. We've shared this before, but everyone here, even though you had a beginning at conception, you will never have an end. The issue is not will you live forever, or if you will exist forever. The issue is where and in what condition you will live forever. The Bible says that everyone will exist forever somewhere. You will either be in the lake of fire or in the presence of God forever. Look here. John 5, verses 28 and 29. Jesus says this, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves..." If you have a pen, you might want to circle the word all. "All who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth." Now there's two groups now. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of what? Condemnation. So there's the resurrection of life, the resurrection of condemnation. Now, anyone here do good enough to be resurrected? Don't let this confuse you, because Jesus goes on to clarify that no one does good. But guess what? You can accept what Jesus has done on your behalf. That's called salvation. That's called God taking the penalty and seeing you then as good. So those that accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, then God sees as having done good, even though they're not. They believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're saved from their sin, and they are now part of the resurrection unto life, as opposed to the resurrection to condemnation. There's two groups of people. Those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and those that reject Him. But both will live forever. It just depends on where. Jesus' resurrection guarantees that you will be resurrected. The question is, have you responded to Jesus as your Savior? He has taken that penalty for you. Even though you and I are sinners, even though you and I have not done good in a way that we can measure up to God's righteous, holy, perfect standard. But Jesus came, died on the cross for us, the Bible says, and rose again to prove that that payment was perfect and complete for each and every one of us. The question is, what have you done about that? You will be resurrected. What then? Number four, Jesus' resurrection guarantees that every person will be judged for his or her sins. Hang with me here. It sounds like heresy, I know, to some of you. Jesus' resurrection guarantees that every person will be judged for his or her sins. Hebrews 9, verses 27 and 28 say this, "And it is, as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for Him, He will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation." It's appointed for men once to die once, but after this, what? The judgment. After death is what? Judgment. Got that? Death is not the end. In fact, realistically speaking, death is the beginning of your eternity. Okay, Revelation 20, I've kind of referenced this generally, but Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. This is huge, okay? "Then I saw a great white throne, and Him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away." Okay, at this point, when this happens, the great white throne judgment, some people call it because of the great white throne, there's no earth and there's no heaven. You have people and God. That's it. No place to hide, no place to run. "And there was found no place for them." Here we are. There's the Lord Jesus. Notice now, and I saw the dead, small and great. This encompasses everybody at every level. The important and the unimportant. The celebrities and the non-celebrities. The rich and the poor, right? I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. So you have a set of books and then another book. And the dead were what? Might want to circle that. The dead were judged. How were they judged? The dead were judged by according to their what? Works. By the things which were written in the book. Apparently God keeps track of what you and I do. Is it good or bad? The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one, if you will, individually, according to their works. Not by somebody else's works. You can't blame someone else for you. You'll give an answer for you. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. So they've used this one set of books, and then to double check, they look at the book of life. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life, could be the book of living, could be translated that way, was cast into the lake of fire. There's one book that if you're not there, they double check it, cast people that are not there in the lake of fire. And they're judged how? By the things written in the books. God's keeping track of everything. Does that bother you? It should bother you. But there's good news. That's bad news. Bad news, okay? Let me review. Jesus' resurrection guarantees that Jesus Christ is who He claimed to be. It guarantees the Bible is true. And it guarantees that every person will be resurrected. And it guarantees that every person will be judged for his or her sins. With me so far? All right. Let's keep going. Flip the page over here. A couple more verses to read. Now, to give you a little detail, there's at least two judgments you need to be aware of. We said there were two groups, right? Those that were resurrection of life and resurrection of condemnation. What we just read about in Revelation 20 is the resurrection of condemnation. These people are not in the book of life. They will be judged by their works. And the Bible says that there are levels of punishment even. Jesus said, woe unto Chorazin and Bethsaida, it'll be worse for you in the day of judgment than it will be for those from Sodom and Gomorrah. For had this message been preached to them, they would have repented. So they're going to have a worse punishment than those of Sodom and Gomorrah. Wow. Levels of punishment. How about this? There's also those for the resurrection of life. Those that have accepted Jesus' payment on the cross for their sins. That say, Lord, You are my sin bearer. I am sinful. You are righteous. There's nothing I can do. I believe on Your payment for me, on behalf of me on the cross. 2 Corinthians 5, 9 and 10. Therefore, we make it our aim, Paul says, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. We talked about that with Noah recently. We can please God. For we must all appear before the what? The judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether what? Good or bad. See that? I didn't write this, and I wouldn't have written this. Because it's not good news for me, okay? Believers are judged too. The Bible says that there's a judgment seat of Christ, and we are rewarded for that which we do that lasts forever. Everything else is burned up. And the Bible says you may have a lot based upon what you do, or you may have nothing to show. You're not saved by your works, but you're rewarded for your works. A saved person will get rewards. An unsaved person, the person that rejects Jesus Christ as their Savior, will have levels of punishment depending on what they've done, but it's still punishment. They're still rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew talks about a judgment. Matthew 25. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, by the way, the phrase Son of Man comes from the Old Testament, and it's a reference to the Messiah. I know it's kind of confusing, but it's a reference to God in the flesh. Okay, the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him. Then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them from one another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, Come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then He will also say to those on the left hand, Depart from Me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. That last sentence there, that last line even. I don't know why the translators do this, but the word everlasting punishment is the same as eternal life. Whatever eternal life is, that's what everlasting punishment is too. However long eternal life is, that's however long everlasting punishment is, okay? Same word. There's two groups. Those that are resurrected to life, those are resurrected to judgment or condemnation. Everyone will be judged. Every person will be judged for his or her sins. Now, hang in there. Number five. Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. The resurrection of Jesus guarantees that Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. Now, that's good news. In fact, that's a central factor of the gospel that the kids quoted today, the two verses that they quoted today. Paul told the Corinthians that I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that, what, kids, you remember? Christ died for our sins. You got that? That's the good news. That's the essence of the gospel. And that He was buried, and that He, what? Rose again the third day. Okay? It's legit. It's the real thing. Christ died for our sins. That's why He came. Romans 4, 20 to 25. He, and I put the word Abraham in there so you understand who they're talking about. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, or what? Belief, okay, it's just the noun form for faith or belief. Giving glory to God and being fully convinced. Abraham was fully convinced that what God had promised, God was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Do you know where the salvation by faith alone shows up clearly? Genesis 15. Okay, verse 6, if you're taking notes there. We're going to talk about that when we get to Genesis 15. We're in Genesis 7 next week, okay, with the flood. So we're not too far away. But God said, Abraham, look up. You see the stars? Your descendants will be like that. Through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And the Bible says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted for him for righteousness. His belief was accounted for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him that the righteousness of God was given to Abraham. Abraham was a sinner, yes? Help me out here. Okay, we're all sinners, right? The Bible says, so Abraham was a sinner also. He couldn't be right with God, so what did God have to do? He had to give him his righteousness. He had to be perfect before God. Since Abraham couldn't do that, God had to somehow figure out a way to do that. Okay? You need God's righteousness. 2 weeks ago, we talked about you need the A+ on your report card. It's pass or fail. Either it's perfect or you fail. Jesus is that perfect report card, and guess what? We're all fail. God says, I'm going to give Jesus A+ to you. You didn't do anything to deserve it. You are an F. by your own efforts, but because you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you get the A+. That's what happened in Genesis 15. In a nutshell, Abraham had never heard about Jesus, okay? But he knew that through him, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. He took God at his word, fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. But notice here, it goes on here. But it's not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, the righteousness was put to his account, but also for us, it shall be imputed to us who what? What's the next word? Believe. Circle that or underline it extra or something. Who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. And notice it goes on to say, who was delivered up because of our offenses. Jesus Christ was on the cross because of your sin and my sin. And notice, and was raised because of our justification. To verify that indeed the payment was complete, it was good. It fully satisfied the righteous demands of a holy God to punish that sin. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. He paid the penalty for your sins. Do you believe that? That's number six. We have a very important and urgent decision to make. Jesus' resurrection guarantees that we have a very important and urgent decision to make, right? Because God did this, and the Bible declares that it is your only hope to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You may be better than the person next to you at this very moment, but guess what? You fall short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, the Bible says, no, not one. Unless you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are still judged and you'll be resurrected the resurrection of condemnation, and you will stand on your own two feet and be judged and be cast in the lake of fire. That's what the Bible says. You know who deserves the lake of fire here? You're looking at one of them right now. The only way I can be right with God, and I'm wearing a tie. That's a joke. The only way I can be right with God is because of what Jesus has done for me. And I believe that Jesus Christ is my sin bearer. He is the Son of God who took my place. And the Bible says he who believes on him is not condemned. Look at the verse here. John 3:16, you're familiar with that. Verse 17 and 18, and then verse 36. These are all in 1 John, or the book of John, chapter 3. For God so loved the world. Right? You got that so far? You're familiar with this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever what? Circle that if you would, please. Whoever believes, Abraham, and talked about Abraham in the previous point, he was fully persuaded that what God had promised he was able also to perform. That's what belief is, I understand. Do you fully believe that what God has promised he's able to also perform? Whoever believes in him, in the Lord Jesus Christ, should not perish, and we're talking about the lake of fire perish, should not perish but have everlasting life, okay, instead of everlasting punishment. Now, it goes on to say this, God's not trying to ruin you, he's trying to rescue you. It says this, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? Saved. God wants to rescue you from your sin and the guilt and the punishment that sin deserves. Verse 18. What's the crux then? Okay, what's there to do? Verse 18 says this. He who believes, please circle that if you would. He who believes in him is not condemned. There's nothing you can do but take God at His word. Because your actions and my actions are bad. We can't add to anything. Jesus died on the cross. Remember, pass or fail? All of us have what? If you're not perfect, you failed. And the Bible says all of us have sinned. None of us are righteous. So we all have the fail. Jesus has the A plus. The Bible says he who believes in him is not condemned. So instead of being part of the condemned, you're part of those that have eternal life. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who believes what? Not is what? What do you have to do to be condemned? Help me out here. Nothing. In order to be part of the condemned, let me share this with you. It's clear. You're already part of the condemned unless you have believed. You have to do absolutely nothing. You're there already. Unless you've believed, we don't fully understand all this, but your name is added to the book of life, then you're part of the resurrection of the just or the righteous or the resurrection of life. It's called different things. He who believes in him is not condemned. That's about as clear as you can get. It's not going to church. Should you go to church? Yes. Will going to church save you? No. How about giving money to church? Or to God, if you will. To serve God. All those things. Are those good things? Yes. Will those save you? Absolutely not. Why? Because it's A plus or F, and we're all Fs. We need Jesus A plus, right? He who believes in him is not condemned. He who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now we jump down to the last verse in John 3. Verse 36 says, he who believes in the Son, you might want to circle believes, but you might want to underline extra hard, has eternal, everlasting life, it says here. Has, right now has. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God is abiding on him, literally. It's already there. You already are facing the judgment of God. So either you're one that believes that Jesus is your sin bearer, or you're one that does not believe and you're already condemned. The wrath of God is resting upon you. You're already condemned to eternal damnation. But Jesus died for you. The question is, what have you done with that information? Have you accepted Jesus? Have you believed on him? Because the Bible says, he who believes in him is not condemned. John 11, right? During the time of Lazarus, remember he died? Mary and Martha's brother Lazarus. Jesus goes back, John 11, verses 25 and 26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who what? Okay, I'm just checking. The Bible's pretty consistent here. No, it's absolutely consistent. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Okay, we're not talking about physical death, we're talking about eternal salvation. He who believes will live again. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Jesus asked Mary or Martha, I'm not sure which one. Jesus is the power of resurrection. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 1 through 3. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. And he goes on to say this, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The challenge for you today is, which group are you in? And if you have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, today's a good day to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to take God at his word, to say, I believe you, God, that you sent your Son to pay the penalty for me and that you will give me His righteousness because I have none of my own. Now is the accepted time, the Bible says. God's not going to take your face and force you to do it. What are you going to do? Are you going to believe that Jesus was your substitute? The one that died on the cross for your sins? And be part of the resurrection of life? The one that already has eternal life because you believed and therefore are not condemned? Are you the one that's going to say, no, I'm going to take my chances and do it on my own? That's the other group. The wrath of God, the Bible says, is already resting upon you. Today's the day. Don't wait for tomorrow. Don't wait thinking that. And if you have questions, I'm good for that. If you're not sure, don't let up until you know for sure. Okay? This is more important than anything else on your plate because it affects all of eternity. Which group are you in? Let me read these again. The Jesus' resurrection guarantees that Jesus Christ is who He claimed to be. He's the Son of God. He's the Savior of the world. He's the Creator of the world. Jesus' resurrection guarantees that the Bible is true. You can hold on to everything else that Jesus said is truth because He did the hardest of the hard. He did what He said He'd do. Jesus' resurrection guarantees that every person will be resurrected. Is there life after death? The answer is yes. There's just two places to go. And it has to do with whether you are right with God or not. Jesus' resurrection guarantees that every person will be judged for his or her sins. There is a right and wrong. There is a holy God. There is answer for what we do. Believers and unbelievers will be judged by our works. That doesn't get us right with God, but it determines what level we spend in life or in condemnation. Number five, Jesus' resurrection guarantees that Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. It's a done deal. It's signed. It's over. I think Jesus said, it is finished, and that's what He meant. His payment is the full satisfaction for our sins. It's all that was necessary to pay for every person's sins in the entire world. And then number six, Jesus' resurrection guarantees that we have a very important and urgent decision to make. If you do nothing, the decision is already made for you. My challenge for you today is consider the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ and believe on Him as your sin bearer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank You for Your word. Thank You for saving me, a sinner, one that was not righteous and am not righteous of my own accord, one that fell short of the glory of God and on my own still does. And yet, Lord, You sent the Lord Jesus to die on the cross for the entire world. And Lord, I'm part of that. Lord, I've embraced, I've believed on the Lord Jesus as my sin bearer, my Savior, my rescuer from my sin because He paid the price that You must extract for my sin. And now I have Jesus' righteousness. Not because I've done anything, but I've only believed in what Jesus has done for me. I pray that that would be what each person here has done. And if not, I pray, Lord, that You would just help them to consider this and wrestle with it until they are sure. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.